A number of shiurim that we've discussed in the past about midos tovos and the significance of midos. We studied the words of Reb Chaim Vital in Shara Kedusha. Inyan midos haros kashim min averos atzman miod miod. That midos tovos and the opposite, these are the shroshim, these are the sodos, the fundamentals. We've also discussed in the past that a person has to be more careful about midos tovos even than kiyuma mitzvos. We've spoken about stom and the midos rose of stom and why it is that Hashem decided to destroy stom. We also had a discussion in the past about how every midah, even if it's a midah ra, it can be used for the positive if channeled in the right direction. We spoke about disciplining one's midos. A person could have a natural midah, which is not a good midah, and yet he can take that midah, and if he controls it, and he disciplines it, and he balances it, he knows how to use it in the right way. And ultimately, the greatest challenge that man faces is to transform his midos. If he's born with midos rose, to somehow overcome them and convert them into midos tovos. In this vein, I'd like to learn with you a piece in Rav Elia Lapyan. He quotes the Rambam in Hilchos Teshuva Perek Zayin that Avon HaMidos Ros She'ein Bahem Maisim. When a person sins in bad midos, we're not talking about a Maisa Avera. Kashim Yoser Me'Avonos She'yesh Bahem Maisa. Says Rav Elia Lapyan, V'yadua kusha shalafi zeh lama lo haricha ha-Torah b'inyon ha-midos klal, k'mo b'shar ha-mitzvos. And this was the question that we had asked in the context of Reb Chaim Vital. And he says the following. He says, Mashal li'echad sha'asa choze in kablan livnos lo binyon gadol. Imagine a person signs a contract with a contractor to build him a building of a great edifice with many floors in it and many rooms in it. And they signed the contract and they made the kinyan. And then after a certain period of time, the kablan comes back with a taina. He says, wait a minute, in the contract it says nothing about chafirat ha-yisodot, about digging the foundations. And I can't build the building unless I dig the foundations. And since this was not included in the contract, therefore the kablan says, I demand that you pay me a special payment. And the Baal HaBinyan, who hired this contractor, starts screaming with an amazement. He says, do you have to write something in the contract that's obvious? What did you think, that you're going to build a building on thin air? Certainly, every building has to be built with yesodos. Without foundations, you can't possibly construct a building. And therefore, it was unnecessary to mention in this contract that the building has to be put down, has to be built on foundations. The larger the building, the more need there is for solid foundations. It was understood. There was no need to write it in the contract. And this is a mashal to answer the question as to why the Torah says nothing about midos rose. The Torah didn't feel compelled, or it wasn't necessary, to spell out midos, the significance of midos tovos, and the corrosive and destructive effect of midos rose. That's the yesodos of the binyan. That's the air that we breathe. That was upgrade. That was assumed from the get-go. And the Sfas Emes, and we've mentioned the Sfas Emes in Parshas Yisro in the past, quoting the Ibn Ezra, what is lo sachmod, how can the Torah command me on and control my chemda? Chemda is a natural emotion. Says the Sfas Emes, yes, it is natural to have chemda for all of inyanei olam hazeh, all the pleasures and the luxuries of this world. But man is being called upon to deepen a profound sense of tshuka and chemda, to be mekayim Hashem's word. And if man succeeds in developing within himself and nurturing within himself a chemda, a desire for HaKadosh Baruch Hu and for fulfilling God's will, that chemda, that spiritual chemda, that divine-oriented chemda, will certainly overcome and completely negate the chemda for Olam Hazeh. And that's what Chazal mean when they say, Batel Ritzoncha Lifnei Ritzono. You have a natural tendency to have desires and your own will, but if you develop a precedence, a significance in which your priority is the will of Hashem and to fulfill that will, then your will is completely overridden. It's null and void. And that's what the Gaon says in Mishlei, that the greatest challenge of a person is with regard to chemda, to take his natural chemda, his natural desires, and to re-challenge them. For that you need chizuk, to re-challenge them for eternal life, for eternity, for avas Hashem, for yiras Hashem. And I'd like to share with you the words of Rav Tzadok HaKohen, who says, Mishiyesh lo tshuka gedola letaivas haguf, if a person has a very intense passion for physical pleasure, al yis'atzev bozeh, he shouldn't despair, he shouldn't be down on himself, so to speak. Lachshov kama pogum hu, he should look at himself and say, look how low I am, look what my desires and my passions are all about. But rather, ki adrabi, should understand shekli muchan, that he's been granted a utensil. He has a tremendous potential. By virtue of this tshuka gedol l'taivas haguf, he's got a kli muchan l'tokef avas utshukas drishas emes. He can rechannel that intense tshuka towards the ava and the search for truth. He can re-challenge that midah of tshuka, and he can use it for the positive. He can transform his midos and his personality as well. What we'd like to study today is a piece in the name of the Gra in a sefer called Pninim Mishulchan Agra. At the end of the Akedah, the Malach says, Ki ata yadati ki yirei Elokim ata. And the Gaon was bothered by the following question. Avraham Avinu was a tzaddik way before this. And certainly Hashem was aware of that. What is ata yadati? Now I know. Says the Gaon, Ein shlemus ha'odam nikar elo kishayesh lo shtei midos hafukos. When are we able to see, to really discern a person's greatness in midos? It's dafka in a situation where he has two midos that are mutually exclusive. He's got midas rachmanus, midas achzorius, and he has to battle it out. He's got to fight between these two midos. They're antithetical one to the other. Lufik sheksha adam noeg v'mida achas, when he exhibits a behavior based on one midah, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's a tzaddik. He's just implementing and acting out on that midah which is natural to him. But if he has two midos hafuchos and he's got a balance between the two, then we know he's a genuine tzaddik. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Avraham Avinu as a challenge. And this is true for all of Klal Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives Klal Yisrael mitzvos that are based on Rachmanus. We have to develop in our hearts a mid of compassion, kibud av, and so forth and so on. Kishem Baimli de Zikna, when our parents are older, dinhu, it makes sense for us, sheirachem aleim, that we should have compassion for our elderly parents. But God gave us mitzvos on the other side of the spectrum, that tzarech lisnai ktsas b'achzorius, it requires us to use a little bit of cruelty, of callousness. For example, the mitzvah of shiluach hakan, that we're allowed to send away the mother bird and then take the children, the fledglings, for ourselves. Or, for example, we have, in the case of Avraham Avinu, a balance between two midos. On the one hand, Avraham Avinu has a natural love and compassion for his children. He is, after all, the personification of Gemilus Chasadim. And yet, in the Akedah, he has to exhibit a different mida, the other extreme, Achzarius. In a sense, it's like balancing between Kibud Avayim, which requires a person to employ his natural sense of compassion, on the other hand, Shiluach HaKan, in which he's got to have a little bit of a midas achzorius. And somehow, the Jew has to learn how to use these two midos and balance between them. This was the great challenge of the Akedah. Ato yodati, ki rei Elokim ato, now I see, says HaKadosh Baruch, I can declare your greatness as a true religious, pious tzaddik, because until now, maybe you were acting out of midos that were natural to you. Here you had to overcome your natural midah. That's why at this point, when Avraham Avinu forces himself, lochuf es atzmo, l'kayim mitzvos boro, is now it becomes nikar that Avraham is a tzaddik gomor. Because in the case of the Akedah, Avraham Avinu had to utilize, to some extent, the midah of Achzoris. Sheratzo b'chol avas nafshel l'kayim mitzvos habore, even though it means putting aside all his endless abundance of love for his own son. And I want to share with you the insights of the Sukkot Shavua Rebbe, the Shem Yishmuel, in the name of his grandfather, the Kotzke Rebbe. And the Kotzke Rebbe was talking about Melucha. And he says the following, the concept of kingship seems to originate in other nations. We don't find it in Klal Yisrael. In fact, Malchus in Klal Yisrael, based David, comes through Avon Umov. What does this mean? And the answer is, because the Jewish nation is Ki'ish Echad, it's like one person. And it was unnatural for one li'echad lishtarer al-chaver, that one should lord it over the other one. We are all made of representative of different parts, limbs of a body, and we're part of one unified organism. Ein ever echad sheba'adam is torer al-ever ha'acher. It's not that one part of the body says, well, I'm superior to the other and I'm going to control you. We're all together as one team. Lachem, hutzruchu Yisrael litol amelucha mi'amnu mo'av. It wasn't possible for Yisrael to develop within themselves in an independent sort of way, melucha, because melucha is foreign to the Jewish fiber, to the Jewish structure of midos. And therefore, lachach hutzruchu Yisrael litol amelucha mi'amnu mo'av. What is Amonu Moav? Amonu Moav represents Geus, which means one person lords it over the other one. And to prove this, the Sukkot Shavua quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu Perek Tezayin, Shamunu Gaon Moav Geima Od. We found out about Moav that they are Geim. Geim means they're very proud, haughty. And the nefesh of David HaMelech, and I quote here from the Shem Yishmuel, is Tmua B'Shevya B'Soklipas Moav. The source, this is Alpi Chsidus, of the nefesh of David HaMelech is somehow mixed up and captured, so to speak, in Moav. So there's a klipa, there's some sort of external negative attribute of Moav that inheres within the personality of David HaMelech, that Geus that we spoke about. And what had to be done is, Kedei Lahotzi Inyan Ha'isnasus, in order to bring Malchus from the potential to the actual, we have to take out some sort of Midas Ha'isnasus. Melucha means when one person is the leader and lords it over others, we have to take this from its klipa, through David HaMelech, through Moav, Ulavia Lakdusha, and to bring it into and sanctify it in Klal Yisrael, L'shem Shamayim, to create Malchus. This is what we mean when we say to transform a Midah Ra into a Midah Tova. This is the greatest challenge, to learn how to discipline our Midos, to overcome natural tendencies. But as we said in the name of Reb Tzadok HaKohen, those natural tendencies should not scare us. They should not depress us and lead to a negative feeling about ourselves, but rather realize that those tendencies and those chukos that we have can be rechanneled and can be used litova. The Gaon, in his understanding of Shir HaShirim, Perek Hey, writes, what does it mean when the Gemara tells us, Ezu Talmud Chacham HaMakpid Al Chaluko LaHofcho, which literally means, he turns his garment inside out. HaRemezu LeMidosav Shel Talmud Chacham. Every garment has its midos, and the Talmud Chacham has his midos. And the Gaon says that the kpeda shel lahafoch levusho beinyan amidos sheyesh ben haafochim umeshaftim mimida tov lemida ra, that you can take a mida ra and convert it into a mida tova. And this tzarech shmira, we need something very careful, some meticulous care in order to achieve this goal. What I'd like to study with you today is the insights of the Michtav Melio, Rav Elio Dessler, into the challenge that we face in our lives. We were granted freedom of choice. We're in a battle. We're in a conflict. How do we face these challenges, and what are these challenges all about? And in the first chelik of Michtav Elio, Rav Dessler has a section which is world famous. You'll find it in Perek Beis in the first chelik, called Nekudat HaBchira, the point of choice. And we'd like to study this today because I think it sheds a light on all that we've been discussing about Avram, about Stom, about Lot, about Midos Tovos, about the Akedah, and the challenge that we face on a daily basis. So if you know the Nekudas HaBechira of the Michtav Elio, then you can right now close your ears, and I'll tell you when to open them. Because this is a very intricate and complex presentation, and Rav Dessler begins with a mashal. And the mashal is very telling. He speaks about military conflicts or confrontations. Let's say there are two nations at war, and there's a battleground, what we call a marechet milchama. And there is one battalion of soldiers on this side, and there's another opposing battalion on the other side. Now, if you look at the front of each battalion of each respective nation, then that front is protecting all the soldiers behind the front lines. And he says that everything that's behind the tzava, the soldiers, that's under the control, so to speak, of that nation. There's no conflict or face-to-face confrontation with those who are behind the lines. And the same is true on the other side. There are people and possessions behind the front lines of the second nation, and those are birshus, those are completely under the control of that second nation. What happens is when one nation successfully wins the battle against the other and pushes that second nation further away, then the next battle is going to be in a place where the two nations are facing each other, one against the other. But in the meantime, the first tzava, the first nation, since it was victorious, has moved forward, has conquered more land. So therefore, he says that land that was now taken over by the first, by the victorious nation and has pushed the second nation further in, that land that they've taken over is no longer under contention. It's no longer in the battlefield. Let's see how Rav Dessler uses this mashal to explain the mechanics of freedom of choice. He says the following. Every person is granted freedom of choice, that's for sure. But where is the battleground? Where does man face a decision, a choice decision, and he has to choose between one and the other? He says the point in which the understanding of truth of a person, his natural understanding of truth, now faces a friction, a conflict with a different kind of truth, which is only fictitious, which is really just a child, a product of sheker, of falsehood. However, most of man's actions on a daily basis, they're in a place where there's no conflict between emes and sheker. Those are issues that are behind the front line, so to speak. They're protected. They are not in the battleground. And therefore, a person has an enormous amount of truth which he was trained and educated in, and he would never even entertain in his mind the possibility of undermining that truth. It's so natural to him. And therefore, harbe asher yasem min harav hasheker shlo yavchin klal she'ein roi lasoso. In other words, it works in the other ways as well. Just as it's true that he's not challenged by sheker in things that are clear-cut emes in his mind, because he was trained from birth and it's part of his psyche, so too, there are many things where he wasn't trained at all, and he's going to implement evil and sheker, and he won't even realize that, you know what, I shouldn't have done that. It's so natural to him, because he wasn't trained otherwise, that it never even dawns on him that he violated some sort of very, did an immoral act. He was unethical. And in both of these scenarios, there's no freedom of choice. Where is freedom of choice? Freedom of choice is only at that point when the battalions of the Yetzer HaTov, so to speak, and the battalions, the soldiers of the Yetzer Hara, face each other in a face-to-face confrontation. I'll give you an example. Many people speak Lashon Hara. They were trained. That's part of the society that they live in. It doesn't even dawn on them at all that this is evil. Those people will not come in front of the Yetzer Hara and try to challenge the Yetzer Hara because they don't even see it as ra. It's second nature to them. But at the same token, if you talk to those people about, let's say, Chol Shabbos, or not going to davening, or not wearing tzitzis or tefillin, or things of that like, that's not a confrontation with the Yetzer Hara. They were trained, and they were so mischanchu vehurgalu kolkach, they got to the point where it's so much a second nature that the Yetzer Hara can't even go in there. These are already mitzvos that they're committed to by nature, by upbringing, that are so much a part of their system. It's like, you know, you stretch your arm out, it's just flexing your muscles. These are behind the front lines. They're not even part of the battleground. And on the other hand, the other case that we gave before of Lashon Hara, that's also not part of the battleground, because the person is so used to Lashon Hara, he doesn't even entertain the possibility that what he did and what he said was unethical and in violation of the Torah law. He's not even challenged by that. He doesn't even know that it's an issue. And therefore, says Rav Dessler, when we talk about chinuch, about training a person, he says, Yesh asher yischanecha adam laharbi min hatov, a person who is trained to an enormous amount of good, you know, that territory that we call chinuch l'tova is so broad, shubatuach bo min yitzara, he doesn't even have any exposure, he's not vulnerable to the attack of the yitzara, is his nekudas habechira is on a much higher level. The battleground is on a higher level. In other words, If a person, for example, was trained in Torah by righteous people, by tzaddikim, by Anshei Maisa, that chinuch will afford him, fortify him with such strength in so many different areas that he will have no challenge, no yetzer, no nekudas habechira with regard to an avera or not doing a mitzvah. All that is upgraded, it's simple. Where will his challenge be? Says Rav Desla, and here the word is very important, bedakus avodas halev hakavana, in the more subtle areas that demand on a higher level a dedication of one's heart, of one's intentions and feelings to avodas Hashem. His challenge will be not whether he's going to implement the mitzvah, not whether he's going to daven and wear tefillin, but whether or not he can make that davening and wearing of tefillin into something inspiring that'll give him a more intense love and a pious dedication to the mitzvah of avodas Hashem, the kavanas halev, the avodas halev. And on the other end of the extreme, you have a person who is raised not amongst tzaddikim but amongst rishoyim, low individuals in society, ganavim, thieves. He doesn't have any bechira about stealing or not stealing. That's the way he was trained. Perhaps his nekudas habechira will be if, let's say, while he's in the throes of a robbery, somebody is catching him and he might get caught and thrown into jail. Should he kill that person? His issue now is murder or not murder. That's his mulchama, that's his battleground against the Yetzer Hara. So we have different extremes. And we could say about most actions of a person, says Rav Desla, that Maisei Adam and Midos of Hanahogos Hem Pri Chinucho, a person's way of life, his attributes, his midos, his behavior patterns, his anhagos, his actions are all just simply a product of his chinuch. We are a product of our education. And chinuch, in its most broad expression, includes within it, all the exposures that we have to society and societal mores, all our contact with people, every contact that we have has an influence on us, and in some way educates us and impacts on us. A person gets used to his surroundings, his environment, and knowingly or perhaps subconsciously, he imitates the people that he has contact with in his society. That's why society is such a powerful tool. It has such an impact on a person. And all these things around him, his teachers, his friends, all the other people that he comes in contact with, all of these have an impact on him incessantly without any interruption. And he encounters them in his daily life every moment of the day. He reads books, he reads advertisements. Everything that he sees under the skies has an influence on him. So most of his actions are really a result of his hergel, of his natural exposure of the chinuch that he's gotten, and the impact, the influence that he's received by all these factors that impact on him. However, it's possible that a person, if he comes from a good environment, could come to do maisim gedolim, great things, what we would call tzidkus, something excellent. And he may even come to the point where he's willing to be moser nefesh. But yet, insofar as he was brought up with this, if he came from a good, solid background, then it's very hard to call this tzidkus. His darga is what we would call, instead of tzidkus, mechunechet. This is a product of his education. It doesn't necessarily reflect the true personality, the essence of the person. What is his true madrega? In order to see that, in order to evaluate what madrega is genuine, is true, and reflects the essence of the person, we have to see those actions that emanate from the pnimius, the atzmius, the essence of the person, in those areas in which he fights the battle with the Yetzer Hara, his unique yitzarim, those individual subjective inclinations that he has, not with those actions and challenges of things that he was hurgal, he was trained and skilled and brought up in that way, when he's imitating others around him, whether he's doing so consciously or subconsciously. But rather, if you want to get a reflection, you want to get a glimpse of who the person is, if his actions represent a genuine reflection of his madrega, of his pnimius, of who he is be'etzem, in his essential personality, then you have to see how he succeeds in the battleground that's a true frontal face-to-face confrontation with the Yetzirah, his unique Yetzirah, which may be on a very high level. And Rav Dessler quotes the great Mashgiach of Slabodka, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, the Alt of Slabodka, who develops this idea and takes it to the next level. He starts with the Kasha, which we have to ask in these parshios, about Lot, who's the nephew of Avram. And we find something fascinating. Avram Avinu is the pillar of Chesed, Titein Chesed LeAvram. Anyone who merited seeing Avram Avinu in his great intense Chesed, which was exceptional, in which Avram Avinu was willing to give up his life, be most a nefesh, for Chesed, anyone who saw that, who observed that, was influenced, was impacted by it. And amongst those who observed Avram Avinu and his great Chesed was Lot, his nephew. And according to the Zohar, the daughter of Lot was that young maiden, which Chazal tell us, gave up her life in order to give a piece of bread for a poor person, and she was killed in a very cruel way by stone. A very torturous Meshudadik Misa with such cruelty. And yet, even so, what do we find Lot? We find Lot, even after this terrible episode with his daughter being murdered by Sdom, when he meets the guests in the city of Sdom, he begs them, Ma'od, the Pasuk says, Lasser El Beso, to come into his house. This is beyond our Hasada. We can't even understand it. And furthermore, we find that when these people came into his house, Lot is not willing to allow any of the Anshei Sdom to come and attack these people. Lot is willing to put his life on the line until the point to which Vayigshu Lishbar Sadelis, the people of Sdom, were waiting to bang down the door and they would kill both the Archim and Lot himself, if not for the fact that Hashem was mocking these people with Sanverim and they were blind, they couldn't get to the door. It means that Lot doesn't care about himself. All he cares about is these malachim. He's afraid of their lives, and he's going to give up his life to defend them, even after what happened to his daughter. You see what a madrega of chesed he has. So you would think, says the Alta from Slabodka, that if we look into the Torah and we search through the psukim and we look for a verse that speaks or alludes to the greatness of Lot, we would have no problem in doing so because of the Parsha of Sdom and Parsha of Vayera. And yet, at the end of Parsha of Vayera, it says, Vayizkar Elokim es Avram Vayishlach es Lot mitocha afecha. The Pasuk says that God remembered at the time of the destruction of Sdom, Avram, and therefore he saved Lot from the destruction. And Chazal say, Rashi quotes it in his Pirush al Torah, what did Hashem remember? Because it says Hashem remembered Avram, but yet Hashem saved Lot. Nizkar shayo Lot yodea she Sarah ishto shal Avram. You remember when Avram came with Sarah down to Mitzrayim and Lot went with, and when Avram was questioned who he is and who is she, he said that he's the brother of Sarah. The Shama, and Lot heard this. Sha'omar Avram in Mitzrayim al Sarah chosihi, she's my sister. V'lo gila davri, overcame his natural tendency to reveal it. V'lo gila davri, and he concealed it. Shayachas alav, he had compassion for his uncle Avram. Leficha chas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olav. Therefore God had compassion for Lot. Says the Alter from Slabodka, I don't understand what's going on over here. You're looking for compassion for Lot? I see a very great reason for compassion for Lot. A man of such great chesed, up to the extent that he's willing to give up his life, that's not considered anything? That doesn't register on the Richter scale? What's considered as chus? The fact that he wasn't the worst of the Malshidim to bring about the death of his uncle by telling them that he, Avram, is not the brother of Sarah, but the husband of Sarah? He should have been Moser his dote for Misa? Is that what gives him, you know, the fact that he wasn't a murderer, a low scoundrel, that should give him merits to be spared from stone? I mean, what's the great business here? I mean, who would tell on his uncle and know full well that the mitzvah are going to do him under as a result? I mean, that would be total cruelty. That would be murder. And if you're looking for a schus, look at the schus of Lot in the mice of Achnosis Arkham in stone. Says Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, Kol Masha Magia Li Oda Misvi Voso Al Yidei Chinuch V'Limud V'Chikui. Everything that man implements, because it came to him through his environment, and he's just imitating others around him. He was trained, and he was taught and educated. Is Afilu Ad Mesiris Nefesh V'Ad Bechlal, even if he does actions in which he endangers his life, Eino Elechitzonius. That is something external. That doesn't reflect the pnim of a person. V'afilu, he says, ad mesiris nefesh mamish. And now Rav Nosson Zvi says the following. He says, what is the madrega ha'adam amitis? What is the true level? And how do you see it reflected, the essence of a person? What is his madrega? K'shemizgaber al yitzro b'dover shalo lamad me'achirim. When he overcomes his yitzer in a battle, in an area which he wasn't trained by others. B'dover shashamu nilcham k'neged yitzro apnimi. When he's battling against his own inner inclination. And Rav Dessler, after quoting this entire beautiful presentation, this brilliant presentation of the Alter of Slabodka, he wants to understand what was the mice over there, Mitzrayim, that Lot didn't reveal that his uncle was really the husband of Sarah. Well, what's that all about? I mean, that's the great schus of Lot. So comes along Rav Dessler, he says the following: Yesh Anashim. Shemefazri Moman Harvey Litztok, he gives an example of people who give a great deal of tztok, but yet, Gam Osim Kach Bitsina, but yet, Afal Pichain, the same person who's so magnanimous and so charitable, Bimaso Matono, in his own business dealings, he can be a Ganav and a Rami. And how could it be? I mean, how are there so contradictions in man? And the answer is that even though both giving tztok up and trying to swindle from others that, you know, his competitors in the market are both binyani mamon, nevertheless, they can be reconciled. Why? Because he learned from his environment the meat of tztaka. He was brought up in a family and in the surroundings where they give tztaka. Hurgal bakach. He was trained. It's now part of his very nature. Nature or nurture. Ulam es midas anemanus, but to be truthful and to be loyal and to be good for your word, lo limdo. They never taught him that. He says the nisayon of Lot, what he calls the nisayon pnimi, the true nekudas habachir of Lot, is avas habetza, is parting with money. Money and possessions, that's something that is the passion of Lot. As a matter of fact, why did Lot leave Avram and go to stone? The pasuk says, "Vayares kol kikar ayarden ki kula mashke." He was allured to stone, despite all the immorality of stone, because it was rich, it was plush, it would mean that he can get wealthy there. People go to all different places in order to get wealthy. Ukshebol Mitzrayim. Now watch what happens in this encounter between Melech Mitzrayim and Lot is there. Sarah is taken to base Paro, Now, Lot has a tremendous challenge, a nisayon. Why? Because since he's a person that can be defined in his essence as oev beta, he loves money. If he would just hint to the Mitzrim, directly or indirectly, just machmit the hint, you know, he could twitch his nose in a certain way, that Avraham Avinu is her husband, the Mitzrim would have killed him, and he, Lot, would have been the only heir to all the money that now accrues to Sarah. He becomes the heir to his aunt Sarah. And if Sarah is married to Beis Paro, then her possessions could now be forked over to Lot. He could hope shekol matnosav hagdol shel Paro, any great gifts that Paro wanted to lavish on Avram, but now Avram is gone, he would instead lavish on Lot, who's the Ben Achi Avram. And therefore his Yetzer, his unique Yetzer, came to challenge him in this. And he was Oed Ben Yisayin. He, Lot, reached greatness. This is the greatness of Lot. If there is any greatness in Lot, it's this. He was Oed Ben Yisayin. And how? Because of his Koach HaPnimi. And he didn't reveal to anyone that Avram was in truth Sarah's husband, and this was not public knowledge. Nobody knew how great Lot's Nisayan and his successful Amida B'Nisayan was with his Koch HaPnimi. Lot is Galishim Birya, says Rav Deslavolam, Eliedov Shalakosh Baruch Levada, only God knew about it. And here's where Chazal find, here's where they pinpoint the Madrega Pnimis HaMitis, the true Nekudas HaBchira, the schus of Lot, in a genuine milcham of Lot against his Yetzer Hara, against his Midah, to overcome his nature, not to do what his uncle did and imitate his uncle and do the chesed of Achlas Archem. And I would like to bring a little bit of support to what Rav Desla says about the nature of the Pnimius of Lot, how he loved money. If you remember, when the Malachim are trying to get Lot out of stone because they're destroying stone, it says Vayisma Mea, he hesitates. Vayachziku Anoshim Biyodo, they had to take him by hand and pull him out of there. Says Rashi Vayisma Mea, based on the Medrash, why did he hesitate? I mean, after all, didn't he see what was going on here? The handwriting's on the wall. Stone was about to be destroyed. Says Rashi Kedei Lahatzil Es Mamono, he wanted to save his money. And let's go back to the Medrash, which is the source for this Rashi. On the word Vayismamea, Timon, Achar Timon. There were double and triple hesitations here. Omar, Lot said to himself, Kama Ovud Bekesev Vizah Bavanim Tovos Margolius Tovos. He says, what's going to be destroyed here in stone? All the money, the silver, the gold, the precious stones, the pearls. Hadod Siv. That, says the Medrash, is the pasuk in Koheles, Osher Shomer Lebal of Larosa, that sometimes one's wealth is protected as possessions of its owner, Lirosa, for his detriment. And this is what's going to jeopardize the life of Lot. He cannot part with his money. He hesitates leaving stone as it's being destroyed. We know of many people who went into dangerous places during a fire and so forth to salvage their money, and they endangered their lives. This is the avas beta of Lot. And in effect, we see this in the generations that come out of Lot. The Torah says about Amon u'Moav, the descendants of Lot, lo yavo Amoni u'Moavi b'kal Hashem, gam dor Asiri, lo yavo lohem b'kal Hashem ad olam. And why advar shelo kidmu eskem lechem v'mayim? They held on, they were so tight and stingy, holding on as it were to the lechem u'mayim, they couldn't share it with Bnei Yisrael. And that's the midah of Avas Betza. And therefore Lot, when he had the opportunity to become the heir of Avram and Sarah, to knock off Avram, not literally, but have him knocked off, and then receive all this goodness, it was alluring to Lot. Here he had to make a decision based on his pnimius HaMitus. Now we see his darga. That's the merit, and that's what justifies the divine decision to save Sodom at the time of destruction of the city. When Rav Desla speaks about the Midas Chesed and Achnosis Orchim of Avram Avinu, so intense, and how anyone who observed it would be influenced and impacted, I'm reminded of Rashi on the Pasuk at the beginning of Parshas Vayera, when Avram sees the three Anoshim Nitzavol of Hayomer Ado, and here we don't know how to read it, Ado, whether it's Kodesh or Chol, if Nomet Sasichem Beinecha Alno Asavor Me'al Avdecha, Rashi says that in his first pshat he spoke to the Gadol Shebehem. So the word Adonai here is my master, referring to a human being, it's Chol. And then Rashi gives another pshat. And this is all based on the Gemara in Masechta Shavuos. Here Rashi says, Hashem hu kodesh, Dovrach Hashem hu kodesh, Vayomer lakodesh baruch hu lahamtid lo, ad sheyorutz v'yachnis es ha'orchem. And it's an amazing statement in the Gemara in Shabbos, Omer Rav Yudah and Shmuel, Omer Rav Yudah and Rav, what we derive from Avram Avinu is gedol hachnos es ha'orchem me kabolos p'nei shechina, that hachnos es ha'orchem is even greater than kabolos p'nei shechina. Avram was being mekabel p'nei shechina, and he put this aside for the sake of hachnos es ha'orchem. That's how intense was Avram's dedication to Chesed. And Lot was trained in that environment. He watched and observed his uncle, and he imbibed and he absorbed into his very being the possibility of imitating his uncle in Midas HaChesed, Ad Kedei Mesiris Nefesh. I want to share with you, as we come to the end of the Shia, the insights of the Or Chaim HaKadosh back in Parshas Lech Lecha, because I think it ties into everything we've been discussing here about disciplining one's midos, about Avram and the Akedah, in which he utilizes his Ava to in which he overcomes his natural Ava in order to love Hashem. And we saw that Avram, in the case of Yishmael, had a natural love for Yishmael, but he understood Avram Avinu that he has to listen to Sarah, and he has to expel and exile Yishmael, and in that case he had to be Achzori again. Different opposite midos, but we have to learn how to balance them and use them and integrate them in the way in which we fulfill Hashem's will, Levatel es Ritzono, Lirtzona Mokom, as we saw in the Sfas Emes, to convert the Chemda from Yoni Olam Hazeh into a Chemda from being Mekayim, the Maimer Hashem. And this is what Chazal mean when they say that the Ava, the love that we have Hashem, reaches the state in which we proclaim, Batel Ritzon Chavifnei Ritzono, I don't have my own Ritzon, I want to fulfill the Ritzon Hashem. That's the key. If we have that dictum and that mandate in our mind, that principle will bring us to the success in Midos. As we saw in the name of Rav Chaim Vital, Midos are more important than even the mitzvahs themselves. That's the intense Ava, the dedication, the loyalty for Hashem. And that's what Avram Avinu teaches us. He's the paradigm, says the Or Chaim HaKadosh. Vayera Hashem al Avram, vayomer lo lezarecha etein es haaretz hazos. Back in Parshas Lech Lecha, Hashem appears to Avram, and he tells him he's going to have children, and they will inherit the land. Keep in mind, at this point in his life, Avram is childless. He's still Avram without the hay. And what's his response to this experience of Vayera Hashem al Avram when Avram gets the Besorah of Zaracha, of Eretz Yisrael, Vayiven Shem Mizbeach, and here the Torah adds three words, Lashem Hanira Elof. And in the past, I've mentioned this archive, I want to repeat it because it's so touching. Why did the Torah add these words, Lashem Anira Elof? Kavonas HaKosov Lodia HaFlogas Chibas Avram Bekono. The intensity of the love of Avram for his creator. Ki Hashem Nigla Elof Ubisro Bizera Ubinesinus Aretz. God appeared to him and told him he's going to have children and they will inherit the land. You would have expected Avram Avinu would build him his back and thank Hashem for those two great besoros. This is good news for Avram. V'hu, but Avram lo hechshiv b'soras shtei milas tovos l'klum. He, in a relative sense, these were not significant in his eyes, neither Zera nor Yerushas Aretz. Be'erach, in comparison, in relationship to Simchaso, his joy, Begilu Shechina, Elov, because God appeared to him. As David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Sovas Machos es Panecha, to have this encounter with the Almighty is such an intense joy. That's the true Simcha. Vu Omer, and therefore the Pasuk testifies, Vayivan Sham Mizbeach Lashem, Hanira Elov. Why did he build a Mizbeach? Why did he thank Hashem? Why did he express his intense, profound gratitude? Because Lashem Anira Elov Kan Perash, says the Archaim Kan Perash, Perash Siba Simchaso, Asher Oleh Bona Mizbeach. What was the great Simcha that engendered in Avram the feeling of, I've got to build a Mizbeach to Hashem, who litzad, because of the reason, Hera Oso Yisbarach Elov, because God appeared to him. That is what makes Avram tick. That's his essence. That's his joyous heart. That's all his craving to come close to Hashem. And we can summarize this whole picture of the Avos. So now we're going to be moving on in these parashas to come and study the next link in the chain. You know, we talk about Yitzchak and Rivka, and then finally Yaakov and his children. But as we leave Avram, to see that Avram is the paradigm of this Ava, the Ava that Avram knows how to use so well, the Ava in which all Avram wants is this close, intimate relationship with Hashem. And of course, the Ava that spills over to the Midos of Avram, that has an impact on all those who observe those Midos, those actions, including Lot. And then, to understand that the greatest challenge that we face, the Nekudas HaBechira, as Rav Dessler calls it, is in those areas where our Pnimius is tested, and Yiratzim Hashem give us the Chizuk, the Siyata Deshmaya, to be able to rise up to face these challenges, because those challenges will be indicative of the Madrega Pnimius Amitis, Kein Yiratzon. Amen.